God be with you, and welcome to Knox United Church in Parksville to our celebration of Pentecost. And I invited everyone in the whole congregation at home to wear red or orange or yellow as a sign of the divine fire and spark that was existent at Pentecost. And so everyone has done that. Alex and Chelsea have done that. Jenny has done that. Even Karen and Sandy have done that, except for me. And I apologize, I don't seem to have any red or orange or yellow in my wardrobe, but I do have white for the Spirit, so my apologies and thank you, and I hope all of you at home are sitting either in red, yellow, orange, or white. We are on the traditional territory of the Pentlatch people, the ancestors of the Qualicum and Anus peoples, with whom we are working toward truth and reconciliation. So we give thanks for this sacred land, this beautiful land upon which we make our home. We also recognize that Knox is working toward our values of compassion, inclusion, joy, and spirituality, and our mission, guided by the creative spirit of God, we are called to build community that cares, shares, and dares. So welcome, and as we begin, we light our Christ candle as a sign of the Christ presence, the flame that came down at Pentecost, reminding that the divine spark burns in each one of us. And so, as we listen to Jenny play the prelude, I invite you in your own way to greet and pass the signs of Christ's peace moving among us, whether at home or in this world, the peace of Christ. Thank you, Jenny. That was beautiful. And now, as we continue to prepare for worship, I'd invite Alex and Chelsea to sing a duet, Come Holy Spirit. And as they sing, inviting the Holy Spirit to enter into this time and this place, let us meditate on these beautiful words and music.
Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shining forth.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, just as your powerful love descended upon the people in Jerusalem at Pentecost, we ask that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us also, wherever we find ourselves. May you hover upon us. May we sense your peace, which passes all understanding. May we sense your guidance and your gentle nudgings. Guide us throughout our lives. Guide us on the path you set before us this day. All this we ask in the name of the one they called the Anointed One, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Invite Alex to read our scripture for us today.
From the prophet Isaiah, "Truly, O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. God will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When God hears you, God will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide any more, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" From the ancient Proverbs, "Where there is no guidance, a nation falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." From the mouth of Jesus, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come."
So a father was very eager to meet his future son-in-law. His daughter had recently become engaged unexpectedly, and this weekend would be their first time meeting the young man. So the father told all of his friends at work that he had a whole list of questions to ask this future son-in-law. On Saturday morning, he invited his soon-to-be son-in-law out for a cup of coffee. As they began to talk, the father quickly found himself asking the questions that were pressing on his mind. "Well, do you have a job? I know you just finished college, but how do you plan to support yourself and my daughter?" The young man paused and said, "Well, God will provide." The father then asked a second question, "And where do you intend to live? Do you have a house or apartment lined up after the wedding?" The young man paused and again, and with much conviction, said, "God will provide." The father waited a few moments before launching into his third question, "Son, do you have any money, any savings, a financial nest egg?" The young man looked at him right in the eye and again said, "God will provide." The following Monday, all of the father's co-workers were curious to find out how it had gone meeting his future son-in-law. The father smiled and said, "I kind of like the kid. He thinks I'm God." I thought that one was a pretty good one. We are living in a time of great uncertainty. We all know that COVID hasn't disappeared, and we don't know what the inevitable second wave in the fall is going to look like. There are lots of unknowns and questions about our lives and what our future looks like. Things are beginning to reopen, but we're not sure if we want to expand our bubble or how much, or if we should risk going actually into a restaurant instead of just having it delivered. We're not sure if we should wear masks or not wear masks. We wonder how long we'll be needing to live like this, when we'll be able to worship together, and will it be safe? Would we go or would we not? We wonder, should we bother to learn a new technology like Zoom? Or just hunker down in our aloneness and enjoy the quiet and make friends with ourselves? We don't yet know when a successful treatment or a vaccine will be found. And so the future is still unknown. So there is significant upheaval in our lives. And so it was for the disciples of Jesus. For 3 years, these followers of the way had given their lives and livelihood to this charismatic, holy leader, Jesus. And they had given their lives to his vision of helping to bring about this new kingdom of God on earth. And now Jesus lets his followers know that he's not going to be able to continue to lead them much longer, that things are going to be changing, and there is much uncertainty among them. So the disciples feel very much like baby birds being nudged out of the nest and told to fly, feeling very ill prepared. They are afraid. But Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid. I might not be here in the flesh, but you aren't going to have to do life alone. You aren't going to have to build the kingdom of God by yourselves. I will ask God to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and the Spirit of truth will be your advocate and guide you into all truth." And then, as recorded by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, 50 days after Jesus is crucified in Jerusalem, we have the story of the disciples being gathered for the festival of Pentecost in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit coming in a great rush of wind and fire, and people who normally couldn't understand each other suddenly and miraculously do get each other, and they begin to share and celebrate the stories of how God's presence is evident in their lives. And what makes that Pentecost celebration so unique is that those 2,000 people gathered from all parts of the world all realize that in all this wonderful diversity of humanity, they are more together than alone. And the community of the church was born. At Pentecost, when the people looked at each other, they recognized in one another the divine spark, the flame of divinity that exists in each one of us. And they realized that the same Spirit of God that moved over the waters at the beginning of creation like a mighty wind was also moving through all of them to usher in a new time. They are renewed, infused, energized by the possibilities what all of them coming together in this worldwide diversity can accomplish. While the Gospel of John reminds us that Jesus did not abandon the disciples, but asked the Holy Spirit to come and live inside each of them as an advocate and teacher and guide, the book of Acts actually describes the story of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And then the prophet Isaiah, written hundreds of years earlier, reminds the ancient Hebrew people that they are not alone either, that God has been guiding them also, that when they are overwhelmed by adversity and when they are feeling overcome by great affliction and when they're trying to discern what new steps they need to take, whether to the left or to the right, there is an inner God-directed voice guiding them and helping them to discern a direction, that God is with them whether they turn right or left. For the God of the Hebrew people and the God of Jesus of Nazareth is not a God who gives us adversity. The process of living on planet Earth does all of that. But the God of the Hebrew and Christian scriptures is a God who offers guidance and wisdom and truth and direction through the collaboration and collective wisdom of the people gathered together in unity. We come to discern where the Spirit is guiding us when wise advisors share with one another their collective wisdom. A nation that doesn't have counselors, wise counselors, falls. But a nation of wise advisors can create something incredible. The word adversary comes from the Latin word ad, which means toward, and verse, which is the root word of veracity, meaning truth. So the roots of the word adversity reminds us that when we are undergoing great adversity, Adversity actually holds the potential for us to discover great truths that we need to become aware of. Adversity pushes us toward truths that maybe we were afraid to look at. When we dig deep into our experience of COVID-19, not just as a nation, but as an entire global community, we are discovering some stark truths that we always knew were there, but have been ignoring or neglecting. Through this collective experience of COVID-19, we've been listening to many advisors from WHO, or medical professionals whose names and jobs and faces we didn't even know before. We're understanding truths we didn't understand. As we recognize our system struggling to respond to this pandemic, we're waking up to great realizations of how our world has operated and all of the cracks and gaps that we knew were there but chose to ignore. We're waking up to what are really essential services, like healthcare and safe long-term care homes and food security. The Holy Spirit of truth is guiding us to the truth of human connection and finding creative ways for us to care for each other in spite of physical distancing. This experience has awakened us to the terrible racism and injustices and inequities in power in law enforcement. This experience has unleashed a collective anger, and we are hearing calls for justice and greater equality in all of our systems. We are still very much in the beginnings of a great awakening of consciousness, a deepened realization that our systems, whether political or economic or social or educational or healthcare or spiritual, need to be rethought and reworked. And so, here in the midst of our worldwide systems and present in this great shared adversity of COVID-19, we are reminded that indeed God is among us through the Holy Spirit, who is guiding us into deeper and deeper depths of truth about ourselves and the world we live in. The Holy Spirit is guiding us through it all. As Proverbs reminds us, to sort through all of this adversity, we will need the collective wisdom of many advisors to make the best decisions. That the Holy Spirit, which resides in each of us, needs to be heard through the collective voices working collaboratively and in community. No more can one leader speak what is best for all and choose to act like a dictator. It is becoming clear that dictatorships will not be tolerated in Hong Kong or in America. And we have no time for parties of opposition yelling across an aisle and name-calling, because we need the collaboration of all political parties to work together for the common good of all of us, not just for some of us. The old political and economic systems that use posturing and competition as their way of operating are no longer viable in a worldwide pandemic on a planet already suffering from climate change. If we are to overcome a common adversary of a deadly, highly contagious virus, we cannot afford hate or competition or racism to exist. Those ways of being have always been and always will be counterproductive and destructive. And so we are seeing the last gasps of systems we created that were workable for only a few, but left the rest of the world in poverty and misery. Old systems and ways of doing things are dying before our eyes, and we need all of the wisest advisors to come together and work together for the healing of our world. And we don't have to be despairing about all the cracks we are seeing in all of our old systems, although there are days when I do despair. But because, as someone once said, it is in the cracks that the light can shine through. It has always been in the great realizations that the call for transformation comes. In the midst of this great adversity and affliction, we are indeed being guided by God, who is revealing all the cracks in our shaky systems. And so we are asked to be reflective on what works and what doesn't, to redo our priorities and sort out what is essential and what is not, what is of great value, and what can be let go. Where are the injustices and inequities? Where do they lie in our systems? And then we need to rebuild our crumbling systems and not just thoughtlessly rebuild them, but to get back as business as usual, but to go forward in more equitable and sustainable ways. So now that we see the cracks appearing and the light of truth peeking through, we need what the tired and discouraged disciples feeling rudderless without Jesus needed. We need another Pentecost, an infusion of the spirit of truth blowing and the fire of divine imagination to create the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. We need the spirit of gentleness to blow through us and stir us from placidness. We need a spiritual renewal to bring about the best shared spiritual values and practices of all the world's best major religions, values of truth and compassion, diversity and inclusion, peacemaking and equality, generosity and loving kindness. When we call upon God to give us the Holy Spirit, we are promised that the Holy Spirit comes. If we ask, we will be shown the way, one step at a time. And while this new road may be beset with challenges and setbacks, which are to be expected, as Tom in our Zoom Bible study shared with us about what his father once said, when it comes to following inner guidance, if you come to a river and the bridge you normally walk across is burnt out, don't sit down and cry about the burnt out old bridge. Just keep walking along the river until you find a new bridge, or even better, build a new bridge across the river. The Holy Spirit promises to guide us into wisdom and truth. And I have seen the Holy Spirit at work these last few weeks in our various council teams in the church, trying to discern how to continue to live out our vision of building community under these current pandemic challenges. And all of these teams are enjoying wonderful collaborative conversations about how to go forward in a new way, discerning how to build new and safer bridges across the river. Guided by the creative spirit of God, we can build those new bridges of community. So let us pray this Pentecost for another Pentecost, for another infusion of the Holy Spirit for the good of the world, for our country, and for our faith community of Knox. May it be so. Amen. Let us sing together, Spirit of Gentleness.
Wind on the sea.
Let us center ourselves in prayer as we listen to the singing bowl. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks for this opportunity to be at rest in you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present, that we may sense your nearness. Infuse us with new life and energy. Lift tired spirits. Bring hope to those who are despairing. Bring peace to those who are afraid. Bring hope to those who grieve. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the
We pray this day for all those among us who are ill, those who are suffering of body, of mind, of heart, who are sick in spirit. We pray for all those who are suffering from COVID-19, and we pray that treatment and healing would be found. We pray for healthcare workers, for grocery clerks, for all those who are on the front lines, bringing food, bringing calm, restoring health and vitality of life. We pray this day for all those who are undergoing cancer treatments and other procedures in hospitals. We pray for their safety. We pray for healing. We pray this day for all those who are grieving among us, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who have lost relationships, for those who are afraid because of job loss, for those facing an unknown future, we pray for your guidance to carry them through this time. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the
We pray this day for your world, places around the world that are suffering, not only from this virus, but from natural disasters. We pray for the people of India as they rebuild their country. We pray for the nations that are hardest hit at this time because of COVID-19. We pray for Brazil and for the African nations and for India. We pray that all those who are in need will sense your Spirit's closeness and sense the Spirit guiding. Help us to listen to your still small voice, the voice that calls us forward, the voice within. Help us to be attentive to our deepest knowings. And now in the silence, we bring before you our own concerns and we lift them to you. O God, we pray for a new Pentecost upon the earth. Send your Holy Spirit to infuse us with fresh eyes for seeing, new ears for hearing, and new hearts of love. All this we ask in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we sing a heritage hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I know when I'm in need of a Pentecost, an infusion of the Spirit. I used to go to the shores of Lake Huron, where my family has a cottage, and I would just stand on the shore and feel the wind, the powerful wind, rush through me and all around me. And I could feel the Spirit of God filling me up. So I invite you this week to go wherever you can encounter that experience. Go forth and be open to receive the power and the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit, renewing you, filling your hearts and minds, and being guided by the Spirit of truth. So as you go forth into your week, may the deep love of God surround you, and the wisdom and the truth of the Christ guide you, and the Holy Spirit fill you with power and grace this day, and forevermore. Amen.